All right, we'll call to order the Stevensville Town Council meeting for Thursday, March 28th, 2019. Ms. Tribbensee, would you please call roll?
Mary Lee?
Here.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Here.
Councilmember Barker?
Here.
Councilmember Michelson?
Here.
Councilmember Phillips?
Here.
Great, thank you. If you'd please rise and join me with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, on the agenda tonight we have approval of minutes from March 14th's public hearing and March 14th's council meeting. Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion we approve the March 14th, 2019 public hearing minutes and the March 14th, 2019 council meeting minutes.
Okay, is there a second? Phillips. It's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Mr. Phillips to approve the March 14th, 2019 public hearing minutes and March 14th, 2019 council meeting minutes. Council discussion. Public comment? Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Ms. Holcomb?
Aye.
Ms. Barker?
Aye.
Mr. Phillips?
Aye.
And Mr. Michelson?
Aye.
Great, thank you. Approval of biweekly claims. We have March 28th's financials and claims before you in your packets. Ms. Holcomb?
I move that we approve of the biweekly claims for March 28th's financial claims. Well, shouldn't that be 2019?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. March 29, 2019.
For March 28, 2019.
Okay. Is there a second? Mr. Michelson? Okay. It's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Mr. Michelson to approve the biweekly claims of March 28, 2019. Questions on claims?
I had a question on 15072, cleaning detail cruiser. Mm-hmm. Was that the police car that we're cleaning up, or?
Yeah, we had a police car that was being stored down down by the sewer plant. It was stored outdoors, became rodent infested.
Okay.
So we had that vehicle detailed to de-infest it.
Yeah, I was just wondering why so much cost.
Correct.
That.
Yeah. Okay. Any further questions on claims? Ms. Barker?
I had a question on, well, I know this is the claims part, but further down under the cash reports.
Okay.
The ambulance operating, where it's showing a negative $4,771.22. My concern is, why is it still in such a negative?
It didn't start the year with any cash. So meaning there's no revenue to that. So April's intention is to find out where it ends at the end of the year and do a general fund transfer into that fund.
Okay.
Ordinarily, those expenditures would have come in past years. Those expenditures have come out of the general fund as part of the EMS budget.
Okay. My next question is on the fund 2820, the gas appropriation fund, a negative 956.61. That was the one that we took the claims for the snow removal out of, and we were told that we didn't have to worry about it. The funds would be there.
See, I don't have a cash report in front of me. I'll ask April about that.
Because it kind of concerns me when, you know, we're told at the meeting that it's all covered, everything was
correct,
taken care of,
mm-hmm,
but we're still showing, we only show as an income on that fund, which you see as the
beginning balance was the 22. Yeah.
And then only getting an extra income of $2,868.71 came through, which would, that would have been with these two totals. That's what the account balance should have been, and we're in the negative balance.
So actually, there's two cash, and this is confusing accounting lingo that April will have to explain to you, but there's two cash accounts under that fund. And so there's operating and restricted cash. The total fund balance started at $117,757 and is now at $93,851. So the fund itself is okay. There's just a difference between the operating cash and the restricted cash. And I don't know the difference between the two as to what's restricted and what's operating. But we'll mark that and ask April.
Thank you.
You bet. She can address that in her next financial report. Further questions on claims? We have a motion and a second to approve. Public comment? Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Mr. Phillips?
Aye.
Ms. Barker?
Aye.
Mr. Michelson?
Aye.
Ms. Holcomb?
Aye.
Great, thank you. We have no administrative reports tonight or guests to recognize, nor correspondence. At this time, it's we'll open the floor for public comment. Please step to the podium for your public comment. You can comment on anything on tonight's agenda or under the jurisdiction of the town of Stevensville. Please also make sure if you plan to make public comment that you sign our sign-in sheet at the door. Is there any public comment tonight? Okay, we'll move on to unfinished business then. Unfinished business item A is discussion decision to approve resolution 444, a resolution of the town of Stevensville Town Council establishing a code of conduct for elected and appointed officials. This comes out of our COW meeting that we held previously this month, where you folks went through a draft. We made some changes after that COW meeting and you reviewed it at the last council meeting. It's before you tonight for adoption. Mr. Phillips?
I move that we approve resolution 444, a resolution of the town of Stevensville, town council, establishing a code of conduct for elected and appointed officials.
Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Phillips and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to approve resolution 444, a resolution of the town of Stevensville, town council, establishing a code of conduct for elected and appointed officials. Discussion from council. Mr. Michelson?
Do you have an idea who you're going to pick for ethics committee?
This doesn't have an ethics committee.
This is not going to have an ethics committee.
No. This is just simply a policy of behavior. There's no ethics standards or anything. At a previous town council meeting, I think council considered creating a code of ethics and pulling together an ethics committee or an ethics board. And that idea, I think, was dismissed, and we chose not to move forward on that. So no such thing will come of this policy. Any further comment from council? April pulled together a receipt page. It's formatted similarly to our personnel policy manual, where the elected officials and those it all applies to, which is basically everyone in the organization, signs that they have received a copy of the code of conduct that we can keep on file. So those are there before you tonight, just as an information piece. Any public comment? All right, if there's nothing further, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Abstain.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Phillips?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Thank you. We'll move on to new business item A, discussion decision regarding the Planning and Zoning Board's 2019 work program. This is before you tonight. Mr. Kellogg wasn't able to make the meeting, the Planning and Zoning Board chair, but he's seeking council's direction on what the board's 2019 work program should look like and what types of things that the council would like planning and zoning to move forward with, if it's policy revisions or code reviews or whatever that may be. He'd like to hear that information from the council before he goes to the Planning and Zoning Board next month and says, here's kind of where we need to be what we need to be working on. So this item is on the agenda tonight for you folks to provide input on whatever it is you feel they should be moving forward on. Mr. Michelson.
Would it be okay instead of you, me, I'm thinking about every councilman's been through the Carol Mickens thing, would it be okay to have her thing run through the Planning and Zoning Board? Wouldn't that be kind of under their purview?
I don't think that the Planning and Zoning Board is looking for direction on specific issues, but looking for general things of what is it that the Planning and Zoning Board should be working on, not necessarily at a level of resolve this issue for us. Now, if that's council's direction, I think they can undertake that. Alley vacates typically aren't a planning and zoning.
Oh, I understand that, but and I know it's weather related and other things too, but I don't think it would be hurt. It'd hurt to have a fresh, fair pair of eyes look at it, and also about that the new physical therapy place going down across from the laundromat. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't there be issues like curbing and everything like that that would have to be looked into?
Those aren't addressed with planning and zoning board. The planning and zoning board, they set the policy that the executive branch then uses to evaluate whether a project meets the criteria or not. So then when a permit such as that comes forward, the zoning administrator looks at that and says, here's the code that the planning and zoning board and the town council have given the community. How does it apply to this project? And the zoning administrator is really the person that puts it to work. So if there's things in our development code that the council would like to see revised or looked at, that's what this opportunity
is
for.
Well, that's what that's about.
That's what this is asking for.
Things that are coming forward for the planning board.
Right, like
within the book itself.
Do you want an entire development code revision, or do you just want one piece of the development code looked at?
I see.
Does the zoning map need to be updated?
Does the wood need to be really that high in somebody's, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Do they need to look at other community standards and bring those to Stevensville, or is it? So that's the kind of direction they're looking for, I believe.
Gotcha.
You know, as I was going over this, I was thinking about these new projects that are coming online. Is it possible to notify the council of these projects coming up, you know, in advance? Because, you know, we didn't know about this therapy building until a couple of meetings ago. You know, it just hadn't come over. It'd be nice when the permit comes through to let the council know that this is in progress.
Traditionally, when the permit is issued, Dennis includes that in his building department report.
Okay, because, you know, that just came up, and then all of a sudden they're building. That's
right, and they went to work, I think, the day the permit was issued. He came in and paid for his permit and took the permit, and then they started clearing the lot hours later.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's not... Dennis and the building department are really the folks who are now issuing those permits, you know, as far as finalizing the permit before mm-hmm. it's issued. The clerks will issue the permit physically, but he finalizes and makes sure that permit's ready for issuance.
Okay.
And then he includes that in his reports to council. And I believe his most recent project was on his building report to council.
Also, as a member of the Planning and Zoning Board, I think it'd be a good idea to get a meeting scheduled with all the members that we have and talk over these things, what we want to do in addition to this meeting here. You know, because we missed our January meeting.
Correct.
And so we need to get one scheduled, you know, and hopefully we get enough members.
And that's why Mr. Kellogg put this on the agenda tonight, is he intends to pull a meeting together in April,
okay.
Right off the bat, but he wants some direction from council before he pulls an agenda together, instead of coming to a planning and zoning board meeting and saying, and having the board say, well, what would the council like us to do, and then coming through that and delaying that process. He wants this information before they have that meeting. And if you don't have any direction for the Planning and Zoning Board, then it may be just up to them to, you know, find something to work on if that's the case. So, Ms. Barker.
I guess I'm with Jerry on that one. You know, I understand it was, I did see it on his report saying that, you know, because I also, because Robin had asked me about it, and I said, well, I think it was in the report. But however, you know, when you have community members that prior to it coming up, you don't know.
Okay.
I mean, it's just something that I would like to see further down the road, that this is what happens, and okay. that there's a little more communication saying, hey, this is what business is coming to town.
And that's not a planning and zoning board issue. That's a zoning administrator and administration issue. The planning and zoning board doesn't do anything with that process. They don't review the plans or any projects unless a variance or something is applied for or conditional use permits applied for. They didn't see anything with the physical therapy project. So that's all handled administratively. So that's something that the administration's heard and will address. But as it relates to this agenda item, it's not necessarily relevant. So they're really just looking for direction from the council, much like the park board would like, as to here are the nuances of planning and zoning. Can you address those? And if there's nothing, or you need time to think about it, you want to individually get some information back to Mr. Kellogg or myself, and we can get that facilitated. So. Should we move on? Okay. Next item is discussion decision to replace police department tasers. Chief Marble is here tonight to present.
Council, thank you for entertaining this discussion regarding replacement of department tasers. As you well know, if you read through my email, we've had a failure of several units, and unfortunately, these things, because they are, their devices are electronic, they do succumb to things like moisture on occasion. They succumb to just overall use, to carry the taser and to ensure that it's working properly. We generally do what we call a spark test at the beginning of the shift to make sure that it's working properly. The capacitors in them have a useful life. So, generally speaking, the useful life of the taser is 5 to 6 years. Unfortunately, we just had several of them decide that they were done all at the same time. They aren't cheap, and I do recognize that, but they are something that we have in our tool chest to be able to utilize in different force applications. I mean, obviously, we don't want to. Nobody in law enforcement desires to have to use or escalate to deadly force, and that's obviously, we want to avoid that at all costs. So to have alternative options to that in the use of a taser, other methods, that's obviously what we're looking for. So not having that capability, we currently have two tasers that are operational. One taser, the laser, there's two laser devices on there. One laser, it intermittently works, it still is able to function as it normally would, but the others are completely done, and then we do have one that's still operating as it should. So what I'm asking for is to consider a few options here in replacing the tasers. If you look at the information that I got in the form of a quote from Axon. And incidentally, Axon is the only company that is producing law enforcement grade tasers right now. They also have civilian versions, which are a little bit different. But so they are proprietary. They're the only ones that we can essentially go to.
Is that what you're looking for?
Yep, thank you. If you look, and this is a little bit confusing, so I want to explain this. When I first looked at this and it says taser 60-year one payment, I cringed and I went, 60 years? We're a day? it looks a little off, but to assure you, that is not a 60-year payment program that we're going after here. This is Taser 60. It's their program, and that's what the program is called. And essentially, it's a 5-year program where you make an annual payment, and you get all the tasers at the same time. It's an annual payment stretched out over 5 years. They prefer that we utilize that payment method because, as it was explained to me, they have stakeholders, they have investors, and they like to see a positive cash flow, as any business would. So essentially, they offer incentives as part of that. So we've got a reduced cost for the tasers as part of that 5-year deferment plan. And we do have the opportunity as part of this five-year plan to carry out an extended warranty over that five-year period. They also have a what's called a TAP program, which is a replacement program at the end of the five-year period. Not to get too much into that, it's a TASER assurance plan, and essentially it's a replacement of units at the end of the five-year period, and that's something that we could also address with the TASER company. But what I'm suggesting to replace these units is three options, and I would like direction from the council on how to proceed with this. Option number one would be to purchase TASERs on the five-year plan. That's $1,300 a year, essentially, $1,299. And we can use line item 940, which is machinery and equipment, and that's in law enforcement services, of course. Fund the purchase every year and work on, you know, additional expenditures through future budgets, probably through line item 212, which is non-cap equipment. That would probably be the appropriate place to house the funding for that project. I understand the fact that oftentimes it's not good to legislate bills on future councils, and they do have an option to opt out. So let's just say, hypothetically, in the future, a future council 4 years down the road said, we don't want to keep paying for this. It's fine, we can get out of the agreement, but we will have to return the product to them, which is obviously not ideal. So it is something to consider when discussing options for replacement. Option two, we could purchase the TASERs in a lump sum for the total amount of $64.95 using all of line item 940, which has $5,000 appropriated. That $5,000 was intended to be used to transfer over to CIP for vehicle replacement. Ideal, again. But we could use that, and then the remainder we could take out of 231, which is the gas appropriation, which currently has, I believe, $4,840 in it remaining for the fiscal year, which it's plenty. We'll make it with that gas appropriation or considerably less. Option three could be to purchase the TASERs on that five-year plan, $1,300 a year, but pay off the remainder of the balance in the new fiscal year 2019-2020. Now, the only drawback to doing that would be that we would lose that five-year warranty period as is originally proposed in this quote. So if we chose to do that and pay it off early, we would have to purchase an additional extended warranty for that five-year period. I don't know how much that would cost, but it would be another cost in addition to it. So my recommendation is to consider option one, and that's the purchase of the TASERs on the five-year plan for $1,300 a year. But I would like to see how you all would like me to proceed with this in replacing those TASERs.
Ms. Holcomb.
So on the second plan, there's no five-year warranty on that one, is it, as well?
No, so if we bought them outright, it's a one-year manufacturer warranty, unless we purchased an additional extended warranty for those TASERs.
But if we did option one, then we would have a five-year plan through the whole time we had them.
Correct. Okay. We make them happy, it's easier for us to fund that each year, I would venture to guess. I mean, I don't know, I can't project the future, but we would be obligated. And like I said, we can back out of it, but we have to give the product back. So.
Chief, can you discuss a little bit, you and I have had this conversation, but can you discuss for the council's sake and the public as well, why we need TASERs?
It gives us another option. It gives us the ability, if we're dealing with a difficult subject, not only does it minimize. Now, it doesn't alleviate any risk. don't get me wrong, anytime force is applied to another person, you run the risk of injury, not only to the officer, but to the person, okay? So this helps to minimize the risk, not only to the officer, but to the person because of the way it operates. I mean, it's an electrical current that incapacitates muscular movement, essentially, allowing for officers to, when they're dealing with somebody who's combative or so on, to be able to put handcuffs on them to restrain them properly, and it just minimizes the risk of injury. Again, not only to the subject, but to the officer. So not having this capability, you really exponentially increase your risk, you know, because you're going hands-on with somebody who's actively fighting, so you're gonna run a risk of getting injured there, and then, you know, having to potentially resort to higher levels of force against the person to keep them from doing what they're doing, their unlawful activity, whatever it is. So, yes, I mean, I think it's a tremendous asset to have this in our tool chest, to be able to deal with combative subjects without running the risk of serious injury to either one.
Mr. Michelson.
How long did the last ones last, James? They were at some.
They lasted their useful life. And it's, you know, I didn't anticipate, I guess, that they would all kind of go out at once. I even made a comment to the representative and said, you know, put like a little electronic thing in there that says it's going to stop working at the same time as all the rest of them, because that's just how it seemed to me. I was a little irritated. And he said, no, I can assure you that's not what we do. And it's just, it's dumb luck that it happened that way, I suppose. So.
Mr. Phillips.
Two questions. How many times has Stevensville used the taser?
In the time that we've had them, they've been displayed, which is a level of force. But the only time that one has actually been used, and I actually haven't, we've never shot the taser where the darts have gone out, but I've used it in a spark capacity, and that's just to keep a dog from tearing the leg off. So okay. Basically, it's just, we haven't used it, but we have used them as a deterrent to set up people.
You said there's a capacitor in there. Couldn't a good electronics expert replace those capacitors?
I asked that very question because I didn't understand why we couldn't just get these repaired.
Yeah.
And at a lower cost. So the way it was explained is that they're a self-contained unit. They essentially take them, molded together, glued together, if you will, and the only way to take them apart is to break them apart. Okay. So if you've got to destroy a unit to replace its guts, they say, just get a new one.
Okay.
And it kind of defeats the purpose. Good question, though.
Ms. Parker.
So I noticed that you had one also requested for Officer Cap and Haley.
Court.
Uh-huh. Court. So there's two of them. I mean, I don't understand the purpose of.
So I would like to have one for five ultimately. If we're moving towards augmenting the police force, it'd be nice to have them ahead of time. But we do have two reserve officers still. It would be nice for them to be, you know, during events to be able to utilize those. We should always have one in reserve anyway, if in case something happens, you know, one of them goes down or it needs to be replaced or it's during the warranty period and we have to wait to get a new one. We should have one in reserve. So having three officers with a taser plus the court officer with a taser, you know, especially the court officer, that's really an important thing. And then having that one in reserve, if you want to look at it that way, would be advantageous. And then if we do augment the police force, we can take those tasers and assign them to the full-time officers too and rotate them out if we need to or however we need to do that so that everybody has access to it.
Any further questions? How would the council like to proceed? Ms. Holcomb?
I would make a motion that we allow the police department to purchase 5 tasers using the year one plan.
The 5-year plan?
The 5-year plan.
On the quote, okay.
There a second? Mr. Michelson.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Mr. Michelson to authorize the police department to purchase 5 tasers utilizing the 5-year payment plan. Council discussion. Public comment. Yes, sir. Step to the podium, please. State your name and address.
Brad Smith, 827 Stephenville Airport Road. How many times were the tasers sent in under warranty?
They were not sent in under warranty. It was after the warranty had expired.
Okay, but you had no failures during the time from the original purchase till now?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any further public comment? Okay, anything else, Chief?
No.
And no further council discussion? I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Phillips?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. Thanks,
thank
Chief.
You.
All right, that concludes the business portion of our agenda. Go into the executive report. I don't have necessarily a formal report. Just report briefly that we've extended an offer of employment to a police officer. That's the additional position that was created out of the reorganization plan. And I'm waiting to hear back if he accepts that offer or not. I expect he will. And when he does, then I'll send out some additional details to the council. And hopefully he can start work as soon as possible. This specific candidate does not need to go through, he's a lateral transfer from another police department, so he does not need to go through the entire police academy. He just needs to go for a week in October, should he accept that position. So we're looking forward to seeing the results of that. Otherwise, I think you're aware of the building going in down the street, the physical therapy building, and we continue to deal with some minor high water issues, namely in the Spring Street and Pine Street areas, where water typically is an issue, and we're seeing some road surface problems as well that we're working to address. So you can expect to see some plans come forward on repairing those streets. I know we talked about 3rd Street being a priority combined with the Spring Street project, and right now we're still looking at options and consulting with the engineers, but you may see me come forward with a reprioritization that we repair a good portion of Spring Street before we move forward on 3rd Street, just because that street is in pretty serious shape based on the water we've seen on it. So outside of that, I don't think there's anything else to report tonight. Council comments. Ms. Holcomb.
I guess I made a weird face when you read your letter last Wednesday, so I just like to make a comment that I'm finding I need to defend myself. At the special meeting on Wednesday, 3:20, when the mayor read a letter into record, he stated he emailed the council daily on the issue of the snow removal. Well, I would like to inform the town that he only emailed the council, well, at least me, 3 times, 2:25, 2:26, and 2:27. That is far from being emailed daily. The one he sent on 2:27 was at 9:07 p.m., and he had already stated that the contractors were already hired. So, I would just like to see the mayor start taking accountability for his mistakes and quit blaming it on the past mayors and the council when you make a mistake on something. That's all I have.
Ms. Barker.
I would just also like to On February 14th meeting, we talked about Resolution 435, which was amending the wages and the compensations of elected and appointed officials, along with the discussion of the reorganization of the mayor's town hall or town employees anyway. That item was actually tabled, and I do believe that Jerry had commented on the fact if there was a court clerk that was actually going to be hired for that position, and at that time we were told that it was undecided due to the fact that we had not been able to go back in and discuss this particular item. This item was tabled, however, I got an email from you, Mayor, stating that a new clerk was in the works, court clerk was in the works. My question for that is also her pay scale, because when we're taking that away from Audrey's job description, are we going to cut Audrey's pay down as well, because now she's no longer taking that? The other concern that I had was I had sent you an email on the fact of some meeting minutes that still had not been addressed, and it was over a week that before I actually got a response from you. And I guess I'm kind of appalled, because it says the clerk is doing her best she can based on her part-time status as the town clerk, training the new court clerk. Should be completed soon, and Audrey will have more time to commit to the council affairs. However, it is important to note that the existing schedule of deadlines of the council packet is currently challenging to complete the minutes in time. Audrey only has Fridays and Mondays to complete the minutes after Thursday's meeting, and she will be committed to the court on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. This issue is obviously compounded if we have more meetings in between regular meetings. I appreciate your understanding, patience, as we can do our best with this, with available resources going forward. Please expect the times to be presented for approval at the second meeting following the meeting, the minutes related to. I guess I have a problem with that, because we rescheduled our town council meetings by moving them to Thursdays so that we would have more time for the clerk to be able to get our packets out and all that information. And I do believe when we went to a training that we had talked about also having three meetings a month. There was possibly four, and we decided to go with three. So I would sincerely like to see this change. 5 weeks of those meetings from January 24th, meetings that we did not approve on February 14th, there's been 5 weeks in there. And all we asked was the comments to be addressed. That's all I have. Thank you.
Council comments? Any board reports? Ms. Holcomb.
We finally had a TED meeting, board meeting, but I believe Julie will be getting that all together to bring to our next, hopefully to our next meeting.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Any other board reports? All right, if there's nothing else, we'll adjourn. Thanks, everybody.